Funpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
Willkommen zur 191. Funpod-Ausgabe, sagt Michael. Crosby Menzies hat in den letzten 12 Jahren nahezu im Alleingang dafür gesorgt, dass in den Ländern des südlichen Afrika fast jeder sich etwas vorstellen kann, wenn er das Wort Solarkocher hört. Als nächstes möchte er mit seinem Konzept der Solarkarawane die Solarkocher weiter verbreiten. Wie er sich das im Einzelnen vorstellt, das erzählt er uns in diesem 7. und letzten Interview, das ich während der Consulfo 2016 im Januar in Faro aufgenommen habe.
Hi, my name is Crosby Menzies and I'm very pleased to be with this podcast. It's an honor to be with you and I salute all the good work you are doing and greetings to the listeners. And may we help to spread solar power. So tonight we are sitting here at the end of the conference of Consol Food in the beginning of 2016 in Faro, Portugal. And it's been a really fantastic meeting of minds from around the world. And really we've shared a lot of information and you still have that sense of family, the way we share and the way we interact with each other, the work that's being done in South America, South Africa, where I'm from, in India and Europe. You feel the commonality in the challenges that we're doing. And for me personally, I work a lot alone in South Africa. We are one of the few people really specialized in this. Mm-hmm. So it's always good to be in a room with other people who really understand what you're talking about.
Of course. Let's go back to the beginnings. What was your first contact with the subject or with the topic of solar cooking?
I first came across solar cooking probably in 2001. I was working in London and living in London for the Wall Street Journal Online, and I realized that this track was not the way. During the dot-com bubble burst, I felt...
So you were a journalist at that time?
Sales and marketing to get people to buy online subscriptions.
Okay.
I came back to South Africa and there was an eclipse in Zambia. And they made a big festival there. And I met a German, Matthias Weber, who had hitchhiked down from Kern. And he had studied solar cooking in Kern. And he was interested in why solar cooking is not being adopted in Africa. After we met there, we kept bumping into each other in Lesotho, in different places in South Africa. So after some time, we decided to form a company together. And at the time there was a GTZ project in South Africa, and they had a motor vehicle, they had a website, they had a toll-free line, they had many SKs sitting in a warehouse and they didn't know what to do with it. So the two of us picked it up and we started to use all of these tools and technologies, and that's after 2 or 3 years we formed the company. At first, we spent many years focusing on awareness, so demonstrating for governments and in villages and in middle-class areas of Johannesburg and other metropolitans of South and Southern Africa.
You showed them how to cook with sunlight.
Yes, we demonstrated the boiling water, making popcorn. Many people were not aware of the technology. So you need the word solar kuchen or solar kochen or solar cuisine before you can become to think about buying it. So we had to actually get that word solar cooking into people's consciousness. Mm-hmm. And in all of the levels, so whether you are a tribal Zulu person or a middle-class white South African from Joburg like me. So we worked on all the levels for a few years. Just the vehicle was paid for by a GTZ. Third South African government and third UNDP. So we had a big vehicle and a petrol card. So we had to look after our own food and where we sleep. This we could do easily, no problem. So we went everywhere, showing everyone. And we spent 6 months just living in this car, driving from Cape Town to Durban to Botswana to Lesotho. And it was really a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And we went to a lot of music festivals.
Yes.
All paid for by development agencies.
Mm-hmm. And what was your equipment at that time? What cookers did you have?
The first cookers that I had experience with were the ones of the German design, what people know as the SK. And I was fortunate enough to meet Dieter Seifert. Many people view him as one of the fathers of solar cooking.
Yes.
And the manufacturer was Christian Koch.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately when I met Koch, he said, I like you. And he gave me 10 of the 1.4 meters and 10 of the 1 meters to go and start marketing. And so our relationship was always very good from the start. And the project also slowly brought box cookers. So we brought Lozolas to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We brought Papillons to South Africa. We marketed the Sun Cook from here in Portugal for 10 years. And a lot of it was introduced to us by the GIZ project, but there's a lot of diversity in the solar cooker world. For me, I'm a parabolic man because this is the first solar cooker I came in contact with.
Yes, but you mentioned Lozola, and I'm especially interested in them. At that time, were they still the wooden model, or was it already metal?
That was the U-Log. It was already metal.
Yeah, it was already metal. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we started with the fabrication. But unfortunately, Joe Hassler, his wife became ill.
Yes.
And so he had to retire from the business.
Yes.
And that was right at the time when we were communicating with each other.
Ah, okay.
So we said, okay, we understand, it's personal, this is life issues, forget about things.
Yeah.
And only now, in Portugal here, did I hear and see the Lozola still coming back to life.
Yeah, yeah. and more than before, I think.
But we sold some to the Botswana government. We sold some to the Swaziland government. We sold demonstration kits to various governments in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lozola was always part of what we demonstrated.
Yeah.
As a higher quality solar cooker.
Yes, of course. You only sold the cookers, but you did not construct them by yourself.
Actually, I did. Once the project stopped in South Africa and the money ran out from the GTZ and all the other partners, I started to produce them in South Africa. And I did this by selling 100 to a local municipality near Durban from there. Christian Koch had given me the designs.
Mm-hmm.
So I sold the product. And then once I had the sale, I could go to the producers and start producing the products. So I did the research on what's the best manufacturer,
mm-hmm.
and I had the different components, the laser cut of the frame and the aluminium petals and so forth, and the screws and nuts and bolts. I found the best place in Johannesburg to get it, and I put it all together at my house, my mm-hmm. home office,
mm-hmm.
and for 5 years we produced that model in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was 1.40 meters cookers?
We did the 1 meter,
1 meter
and the 1.40 meters, and we also made wood-burning stoves. And we also made the retained heat bag or sun bag or fireless basket. So we made all three. And interestingly enough, what started to happen is people came with cheaper wood-burning stoves than we could produce.
Mm-hmm.
So we started to just work with them, and the same with the bags. And eventually with the SK, I realized it wasn't the correct design for what we were trying to get done. We weren't able to produce them fast enough for the big scale, which is what the company set up for. Because we're in Africa and we look at the world from South Africa up,
mm-hmm.
instead of from Europe down,
mm-hmm.
from where we sit in the world, we see people in need of solar cookers everywhere. So right from the beginning, the idea was to build an industrial size distribution mechanism and production. But I guess, should I talk about it? The problems that we had with the SK is it took too long to construct, on average, 2 to 4 hours. And once you constructed it, you couldn't move it around very good. And the material, the aluminium, was a very high quality material that was simply too expensive.
Yes.
So after 5 years, we started to work with China and produce there. So at this moment, we produce very little in South Africa, so we moved. We were a production company, and we actually have now focused more on the distribution, because I realized that I want to rather focus on having people having access to this technology. For the person who's buying it, it's not important the technical side of things and what material. He needs to know, how fast can I cook? How much money is it? So this is what we focus on now.
After this quite long time, how do you see the results or the impact of what you did so far?
Actually, it's very positive. The results are very, very positive, because 10, 12 years down the line, you can go to any strata of society and say the word solar cooker, and someone will say, yes, I know what the technology is.
Okay.
And I know that we were the ones doing this work for the last 12 years. So I'm always very happy when I hear somebody say solar cooker, whether he's in a government or NGO or even a traditional tribal person, and not just South Africa, Southern Africa. So that work is now done.
Okay.
And we are now moving into a phase of how to set up the distribution.
Okay.
So I feel very confident in the work that we've done, but now it's more time to become a proper business. It's not so much the fun of the original creation and the awareness. Now it's time to get serious about how do we make people's lives better and stop the impact on firewood, because it is a real problem in our part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of biodiversity, so people are walking into the game parks to get firewood because theirs has run out, and they're coming into conflict with elephants, with snakes, with hippopotamuses. So for many other people in the world, this is hard to imagine, whereas in Southern Africa, this is actually a daily reality, and we've been fortunate to work on projects like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like sometimes I feel like as one person my impact is too small, and I lie awake at night when I think of all the millions of cookers that need to go out and all the hardship that people are really living, and it's difficult as one person to feel all of that, and makes my heart a bit sore. And then on the other side, when the sun comes up, there's always a new hope and a new chance to do something, and I'm thankful that we got the chance to be part of the story because it is a bigger global movement.
Yes.
So I'm very positive about the future of solar cooking. I think the work we did has fertilized the ground now for good growth, and now will come many models and probably many organizations. And we have some strategies and some ways that we still want to be the channel, and also to benefit from the work that we've done at Sunfire, to really establish the technology that people can get it, because we are African.
Yeah.
So we have a feeling for the African people, so we need a solution that's coming from us. And we have this concept called the Solar Caravan. So now in 2016, we're going to, from here, spend the rest of this year, and for the next 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, however long it takes to get the job done, what I understood is that it's no more time to sit behind the computer and write about it anymore.
Can you describe this concept of the solar caravan?
Yes, please. Thank you. it's a new concept. Well, actually, it's not a new concept. We had a documentary that went out 4 years ago in America. So I can share with viewers this documentary that nicely will tell you. But what the caravan is, it's a concept of a caravan like the silk caravans from Asia or the salt caravans from West Africa. So I have this picture in my mind of all the camels following each other through the desert. And in a nutshell, what we want to do, what we realized, is yes, now we have the word in people's consciousness, but they still don't have an opportunity to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's time to become product orientated. And the caravan is to go into communities and demonstrate the solar cooking technologies and find local partners to take it on and make it their own. Because we have 11 languages in South Africa and we have much cultural diversity, we need people from that culture to take it on. So, for example, if I came to Europe, I would use a Portuguese man in Portugal and a French man in France and a German man in Germany and an Irish man. So we have that all inside one country. We have already 11 distinct cultures, and my language is limited in, I have maybe two languages and two and a half, a little bit in other pieces. So the missing, what we feel strategically is that we need to ground it with entrepreneurs that will take on the range of technologies. And along the way, we have started to include many solar lanterns and small-scale solar PV systems that can charge a mobile phone and also give light to people, but all for under 150 euros. So you get a package of a parabolic, a wood-burning, a bag, and then a light and a way to charge your phone, all for a very low impact, low cost of money. But in order to really spread it, we need, it's like lighting little fires all over the country. It's like a little spark everywhere. And at the moment, the spark is dependent on the person carrying it, which is me. So we need to make many more fires. And that in every culture, the Venda culture, in the Khoza culture, in the Zulu culture, in the Sotho culture, in different parts of the country, somebody there takes it on. And we're going to do this in such a way that the caravan will upload a video once a month. So we want to share with the international community and with the world, really, with the globe,
mm-hmm.
what is actually going on the ground situation in Africa, in South Africa to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And that people will be able to directly donate the technology. So you'll be able to buy a cooker for somebody, and we will just facilitate that, that buying. We will be a conduit for that. Because business is not always enough. The people who really need it are not the ones who can really buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to explore things like crowdfunding and videos that we can share the work the caravan is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, wherever you are in the world, you will be able to come and join the caravan for a week, for 1 month. So you will be one of the cars in the line, same as the camel,
mm-hmm.
taking the technology into villages.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually quite a big project, but it's taken about 10 years to think about how we can solve it.
And how far is it developed now? Have you found partners?
Actually, that's one of the reasons we're here.
Okay.
And we're finding partners as we go.
Yeah.
So I think once we get moving, a lot more things will fall into shape.
Yeah.
We need the action to for people to join around. So we have got partners, but only in the next few months will we solidify how we can share with everybody on the website, through videos, through podcasts, because really I like to think of it as a global experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually moving beyond technology. What we really want to do
mm-hmm.
is join people in Europe and other parts of the world directly with people in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to open the subject up, not just of clean cooking, but of permaculture and organic food production, of how to look after the water, how to look after the waste management. And the reason is that in communities, when they see that they can trust us, they start to tell us all of their problems. They don't just come with a one problem, and they don't trust you if you don't are prepared to work on their problems that they bring you, not just the solar cooker.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized we are able to establish the trust, but only through a global exchange are we able to solve some of the problems.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea with the video is that we can cut through the decision-making process in NGOs, because sometimes it can take too long for the decision to be made and for the money to come. So with the crowdfunding, you will be able to see where we are, and you can decide, yes, I give a lantern to that lady now. And tonight she has light and her life is better. So we want to try to make it as direct as possible.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have all the answers. We're just going to start. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you already a plan for the way of the caravan?
Probably, yes, a little bit.
Where will it start and when roundabout?
It started already, actually.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I'm going to do some of the first blogging here in Spain and Portugal.
Yeah.
I want to do the first blog at the end of the Camino. So a lot of it's about presentation and packaging and just spreading the word in a, you would call it marketing, but it's not quite marketing because we are working on a humanity-based
yes.
systems here. So immediately when I get back, we have projects in Lesotho that need attention. We have projects, most of our focus is to the north of Johannesburg,
mm-hmm.
so up towards Zimbabwe, because a lot of our existing clients are Zimbabweans and Malawians. And they take the solar cookers over the border on their own. So we're going to concentrate. We have an idea of a route. In summer, it's too hot up there. But in winter, it's a good temperature. And people are still living very naturally. Before 1994, that was regarded as its own country.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, it's actually become a good thing. Because people are living traditional lifestyles. And they are really accepting of the technology from the work that we've done there. So the short answer to your question is we will mine all of the work that we've done over the last 12 years and start selecting project sites. For example, we really want to go and work with the Bushmen.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of links in there, which is near Botswana. and then down to where Nelson Mandela's people are in the Eastern Cape, the Khoza, and then up through Zululand, KwaZulu-Natal, Durban, and then again up along the Kruger Park and up towards Zimbabwe. So this will be the route, and what we will do is just establish more and more centers of excellence or centers of contact. And long term, what we're hoping is that people who have a profession in architecture or working with plants will be able to know someone in an African community and come and work directly with that person. Because a lot of organizations in Africa are asking for volunteers, but they don't really have the systems in place to make the best use of that person's professional time. So really we want to take out the middlemen, and our focus is solo cooking and clean cooking. It's what we have. It's what we make business. It's how we live and can pay for the petrol on our own.
Yeah.
So it would be nice to have sponsors for that, but we are fortunate also to be in a position where we are able to just go and are ready to start. And as time goes by and the caravan's moving around, we will add more and more components of it. It's very much, we have a library of professors at different universities, and we have a library of practitioners and contacts with practitioners of different models of solar cooking. We are very well established in South Africa, so we know people on biogas, on big PV systems, wind, anything you can imagine. And we're hoping that through the action and the movement of going into communities, some of these things will come together in a way that is not possible now without the caravan. So essentially, we are going to go look for problems. That's all we're going to do. But we're going to need a global team to help us solve them. It's a very big vision, and it's a bit scary, but we have to start somewhere. There's nothing else in my mind after 12 years to say, how do we really get the technology where we need it to be? We need to move beyond business. We need to be more effective than NGOs. And we need to answer more questions than clean cooking. And really what we are, it's not really technology that we're selling. It's lifestyle based. It's natural living.
Yes.
Many people in Germany understand this. Many people in Africa understand this. But we don't have a link to work together. So the caravan wants to be that link. And that's what we try.
Okay. So when you first spoke about or said the word caravan, I had an idea of you gather a bunch of people with different needed abilities or capabilities, and you drive around and stay a week here and stay a week there, or maybe a few weeks.
Maybe a month, depends on if...
it depends on the necessities, right? Yeah, okay. Okay, that's all I understood, yes.
You understand it in one, I'm very glad. A lot of people think we have a caravan that we're going to put on a car and move around.
No,
you understand exactly what you said. That's
and this can grow in the course of time when more people join you.
Yes.
Okay.
So rather than, because we see that's the need, so rather than wait for anyone to start it, we say we will start.
I want to come back to the beginning and to our conference here, because you wanted to make contacts or get new impulses, new ideas for your project. Did this happen?
We didn't have a presentation here. And the poster that I was going to present, I didn't print. But I can still say that, yes, it has happened very subtly and behind the scenes. So definitely it's been very valuable, and I've learned a lot. So
yeah,
in a subtle way, probably this podcast is the biggest public announcement of it. But there are a few people in the conference that I spoke to. So, yes.
We saw examples how in rural India, these new technologies can help to transform everything. Is this an idea what Deepak Gadia does in his ashram? Can this be transferred to your region, or is the cultural difference too big?
It is transferable. And I don't think the culture difference is so big, but I think the political and economic situation in India are very different to ours in South Africa.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that they've done a lot of this work in India is with Solar Punch from New York.
Yeah.
And we've partnered with Solar Punch, and we're hoping that they come out to South Africa and Swaziland. So we will use very much the same techniques.
Yes.
So it's almost like a little festival. You have solar music, you have solar cooking, you have solar lights. You have as many solution-based technologies as we can offer. So actually, like this, it's identical, but in the way that will eventually develop, they are quite different, India and Africa.
Yeah. So... if somebody feels inspired by what you said, how can they contact you?
www.sunfire.co.za, Z-Africa.
Okay.
That's our website, and in the next 2 or 3 months, we will start publishing information on the caravan. We're already starting with our YouTube channel, so we will decide if we're going to update once a month. But in the meanwhile, if there are any listeners who have expertise, or feel that they can contribute in any way, because sometimes, yes, it's about money, but also sometimes it's just about sharing knowledge and being in solidarity. So we would ask anyone who feels called by what we're trying to do to reach out to us and just drop us an email. So even before it's probably going to take us the rest of the year to really get it to be slick. To really get it to be a reality TV, to really get our crowdfunding together. We're a small group down in South Africa, so... Yeah.
How many are you?
Three.
Okay, yes.
And one is my housemate. He's not actually employed by the company, but he's an IT guy. So reach out, send us an email beforehand and say, this is what I would think that I can do with a caravan, or just let us know. So just drop us an email. It's crosby@sunfire.co.za.
Yeah.
And we're going to build a library of experts in each and every field, so that we have in our magic bag more and more solutions. So when a community comes to us, we can say, oh, you have a problem with seeds. Well, we have these people in Germany or California. They are happy to send you good seeds. Or we know architects. We're very fortunate to have built up a big group of people over the last 12 years, but we always need more. Because, as you know, in this movement, we're all contributing our time freely, pretty much.
Yeah.
None of us are really getting paid.
Yeah.
So just reach out. If you like the podcast, just reach out to us. But for me personally, I can't think of anything better to do with my life. So this is what I'm going to be doing in 2017, 2018, 2019. I have a daughter. She's 3. This is how we will educate her and school her. My wife is Afrikaans. So this is a lifestyle for us. This is a dedication and a commitment. We will build a sustainable business out of it. But at the end of the day, we want to give people technologies that can help with climate change and biodiversity before time gets too late.
Okay.
So this is our commitment, and that it's very simple. We're just going to carry on as long as we can.
Yes, okay. I wish you good luck, and thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Sunpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
Positive Impulse für eine lebenswerte Welt, wie wir sie uns wünschen. Um neue Ideen bekannt zu machen, brauchen wir eure Hilfe durch Rückmeldungen und Unterstützung aus der Hörerschaft. Kommentare sind willkommen, entweder über den Blog www.sunpod.de oder per E-Mail. Die Kontaktdaten findet ihr im Bereich Die Autoren. Finanziell könnt ihr unser Ideenradio via Flatter, PayPal oder Überweisung fördern. Details hierzu findet ihr auf der Homepage www.sunpod.de im Bereich über Sunpod. Vielen Dank für eure Mithilfe.